This show furnished by Abir Cohen, Trazon, and Sallow.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles. This is Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome to the Axe Law Hour, heard every Saturday at noon, providing you with solid information from our good friends at Abir, Cohen, Trazon, and Sallow, the Axe Law Firm. That's A-C-T-S Law. Find them at axelaw.com. If you have questions about sexual abuse or product liability or anything related and you don't know where to turn, you can call now, 800-222-5222. Knowledge is power, and power is knowledge. The Axe Law Hour wants to empower you today. I'm Lorraine Love, and now here's the host and managing partner of the Axe Law Firm, Danny Abir.
Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning. How are you? Good. How are you?
I've missed you for a couple of
weeks. I know. I was traveling.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Good to have you.
Thanks.
I want to say hello to all our listeners as well as our engineer, Frank. Hi, Frank.
Hey, Frank.
I want to introduce my partner, Doug Roche. Doug Roche has been with us for 4 months now, and I want him to introduce himself and tell us a little bit about himself.
Hey, Danny. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you.
I've been practicing law for about 17 years. I started on the defense doing different types of cases. Anything from product failures to trucking accidents. And then about 6-7 years ago, I made the transition from the defense to go over to the plaintiff side, where I started helping consumers with their individual claims. And my career sort of morphed from there into a multiple discipline of areas, including most recently starting to do a lot more in the area of sexual abuse with minor children. And I've been focusing primarily on catastrophic injuries and helping those who cannot necessarily help themselves.
One of the
Talk Radio 790K.
Oops. One of the things that we thought we could talk about initially, and it's funny because it was on the news right before in the intro of this show, is what's going on in the world today with Harvey Weinstein, with Bill O'Reilly, with Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
All these things that are coming out as far as sex abuse cases and sexual assault cases, both in terms of, in this case, Hollywood and the workplace, as well as I think it's a good segue to talk about to get into the sex abuse cases that we do handle at the office and you've experienced with Doug.
Yeah, you know, you can't really pass a day without something in the news that talks about there being a scandal. Or if you comb the internet and you look and you for words such as sex and school, that something's going to pop up within the last month. So people are becoming a lot more aware of it. They're starting to police it a little bit more. But the problem that we've had, and it's something that hopefully will continue to change, is people weren't talking about it.
Right.
They weren't asking for help. They were too scared. They were too emotionally frail to come forward. And this is kind of the new era. You know, we talk about Harvey Weinstein.
Right.
It started with one person who told her about her story. It was in the New York Times, I believe. And then all of a sudden, we are at 60 people that talked about how he's made this a pattern. It's not unique. Normally, when you find one victim, there's almost always multiple. And it's a matter of how far back you can trace those victims to see how long the conduct has been ongoing.
One of the common denominators when you look at the stories and you read the articles and you look at the interviews is that every one of them was ashamed to come forward or scared to come forward and what didn't feel comfortable to come forward. And I think that's a common denominator in a lot of the sex abuse cases as well, regardless of whether, and it's especially more common as far as children is concerned.
Well, and I think a lot of times too, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but people seem to feel like it's my fault. Like, what did I do to make this happen?
Yeah, and it's not uncommon, too, that the victim's always blamed, especially when it gets into litigation, that you somehow encouraged the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't say no enough. Children are kind of unique, depending on their age. You know, like very young children, they may not be able to express to you the injury that they suffered, but their mannerisms and their behaviors will allow them to express to you that something happened. And as the kids get older, they're able to be more expressive, but they may not necessarily comprehend everything that's happened to them, which is why you're seeing a lot more people coming forward in their adulthood saying, look at what happened to me back when I was a child and how it changed my life. When I had one particular client who he was sexually abused when he was 11.
Oh, wow.
And he ended up spending the rest of his youth and adolescence struggling. He got into drugs. He attempted suicide on multiple occasions.
Oh, how sad.
And his parents could never really connect the reason why. And then all of a sudden there was this aha moment 20 years later when the teacher that had molested him, which the police never investigated back in 1991.
Oh, my gosh.
Was arrested for copulating another child. And then the earth opened up.
Right.
And the calls kept coming in of the number of people that this man abused over a 20-year period of time because nobody was talking about it. Nobody was paying attention to the signs and the symptoms that you typically would see with a child that's suffering from something like that.
Right. So when people suppress it like that, because it sounds like that's very common, if they suppress it, I mean, is there a statute of limitations for that? How does that work?
Yeah, so the statute of limitations has been changing for a while. I mean, there's been legislative efforts to even extend it further in California, which unfortunately has not happened yet. So the statute of limitations currently as it stands is it's 8 years past the age of majority, which is 18 years old, mm-hmm. or 3 years after the date of discovery, whichever is later.
Okay.
So one of the ways that the suppressed memory, which is an equitable argument, has played in is sometimes these people bury it deep down inside. Mm-hmm. They can't come forward because it's so hurtful to them. And then they have an aha moment. Something happens. They see the perpetrator arrested and all of the emotions and the angst and everything flush back. And there are doctors out there that can actually diagnose suppressed memory.
Oh, wow.
We saw that a lot with the Catholic Church cases back in the 1990s. Mm-hmm. And that allows the statute on a civil case to move forward. There's another element, too, that also allows you to move forward with a claim. Mm-hmm. And that has to do with something called equitable estoppel. It's a big term to say, I was in fear for my life and the well-being of myself and my family because the threat was not gone. There was one case that I worked on that wrapped up last year where he attempted to report it to the police. Mm-hmm. And the day he reported it to the police, the man who actually molested him for 5 years said, don't do that.
Oh.
Don't talk to them. I know where you live. I know where your family lives.
Right, and scared him.
It could cause you great harm. And he walked away from it until another victim came forward. She said, this is not right.
Right.
And they finally put him in jail.
Oh, wow.
You know, a lot of times, too, I mean, that particular individual, he was 11 when it started. Mm-hmm. He was about 17, 18 when it stopped. This was his first sexual experience, and it was with a man.
Oh, how sad.
So they have a major, major problem identifying their own sexual identity, mm-hmm. trying to have an understanding of why they're feeling these raw emotions, feeling guilty that they allowed it to happen, but not feeling like they can address this adult in the room mm-hmm. and say no. And it's always secretive.
Right.
Make sure you don't tell anybody. It's our little secret. You're my special friend.
Right. And if you do, I'm going to hurt you or your family, or there's going to be huge ramifications. You're scared.
Or you can get in trouble.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to tell your mom and dad.
Right. You wanted this too. Right.
Mm-hmm. But even with the adults, we were talking about sex trafficking cases.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they use threat.
Oh, totally. A year ago, I interviewed Ashley Judd, and I went to Nashville and I did a radio show with her. And we did the interview, and she came out and talked about how she had suppressed for years her sexual abuse. And in doing that radio show, I was also made a friendship with a gal who she was sex trafficked. And she went from, like, Oregon, a guy that was her boyfriend, and he said, I need to move. I'm a record producer. I need to move you with me to Vegas. And the minute she got to Vegas, it was like, now you're my slave. You're my sex trafficker. If you do anything, I will kill your parents. And it's a real thing. And it's a real deal that happens to these people, and they are afraid and they don't know what to do or where to turn, and it's sad.
Yeah, it's a cell. I mean, it literally, one gets shut down by the police, another one pops up.
Well, let's talk about this further in the next segment and talk about more in detail as far as sex abuse cases, what it takes to get a case successfully done, and maybe more examples of what you've dealt with in the past, Doug, as far as the sex abuse cases are concerned.
That'd be great.
Cars, trucks, motorcycles. If it's got a motor, we've got your man. If there was ever a time you needed an automotive expert like Leon Kaplan at your side, it's now. The Motor Man. Sunday mornings at 8 on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
What if hiring could be easier, less time-consuming, with more qualified candidates and faster results? What if hiring could be smarter? Thanks to ZipRecruiter, it can be. With one click, post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, so you don't spend time wondering where the right candidates are searching. Then ZipRecruiter uses its smart matching technology to scan millions of active resumes and notify the most qualified candidates to apply for your job. And the ZipRecruiter dashboard makes it easy to review, rate, and contact candidates all in one place. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter makes it simple for growing businesses of all sizes to hire the right people, no matter the industry. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
We're so confident ZipRecruiter will get you the results you need. We'll let you try it free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
As a small business owner, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? Go to Vistaprint.com today and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. And at Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 4000 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 4000.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you Geico has more than just great savings. Much more. Geico's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with Geico, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than Geico. More power to you. Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
How will the recent massive data breach affect you? Is your personal information at risk? If you are a Discover credit card member, there's an important action you can take to help protect yourself right now. Go online and sign up for Discover's free Social Security alerts. Once activated, we will alert you if your Social Security number is found on any one of thousands of risky websites. Learn more and sign up for free alerts at discover.com/free alerts. Limitations apply.
Has rain, wind, fire, or floods damaged your property? The attorneys from Axe Law are here to help you act now at 800-222-5222.
You're listening to the Axe Law Hour. If you have any questions about sexual abuse or product liability or anything related to that and you don't know where to turn, give us a call. We're here to help. Call 800-222-5222. All right, so we are sitting here with Danny Abir. I'm Lorraine Love, and we've also got Doug with us, and we are talking about some different sexual abuse cases, and I know we kind of went, the last break, and we ended on that. So I know you had a couple other things to say, but when I had met with a gal that was sex trafficking, we were talking about all of that. One of the things that she said that was so interesting, she didn't even know it was happening to her, is she was being groomed. They were grooming her. And what exactly does that mean?
So grooming is a behavior that the perpetrators typically try to do to get a child to fall into the trap of being sexually abused. Mm. They become their friend. Sometimes they take a paternal or a maternal role model. They'll buy them gifts. They'll give them special attention. They'll take them on vacations. Mm-hmm. They'll give them what they may feel that they're missing. And then it starts with sort of pressing the boundaries. You know,
right.
What may first start into like as a gentle hug or a slap on the butt. becomes a longer embrace to the come over to my house and watch a movie with me and we can play a game afterwards.
Okay.
And then the behavior continues to progress. And by the time the child gets to the end of this, mm-hmm. they're stuck. They're at a house or at a location where they're alone with a man or a woman that is far stronger than them, far more believable than them in the context of the child's mind, and they feel like they have no other choice but to give in.
Right.
And by that time, the child's already been taught by whoever the perpetrator is that they have no choices anymore. They're yeah. just a child.
And they trust them, right? That's why they're doing this grooming along the way. They trust them because they've put all these different measures in place to make sure they do.
Yeah, I mean, we have a case that I was working on where there were a handful of individuals, and their teacher would take them on basketball trips and would buy them video games, mm-hmm. and their parents were completely blind to it because the parents were working, the
right.
fathers were out, you know, trying
you
to make a living,
mm-hmm.
and we would be, and they would say, "Well, sure, come and take my child to a UCLA game." All the while, he's grooming these children to take advantage of them. And what's surprising to everybody is when he was finally convicted, and one of the victims finally got him recording saying that he did something inappropriate,
mm-hmm.
they were in disbelief. They're like, "Oh, that couldn't have happened to me."
Uh-huh.
And then the pictures from his hard drive became a matter of the investigation. And these boys had to sit down and look at these photographs where they were demonstrative of them in compromised positions with him when he was in a hotel room with them on these various trips.
And so they had no idea the pictures were being taken?
They had no idea.
Oh, my God.
And what makes this particular situation even worse is the school knew 20 years ago.
Oh.
So when he was a softball coach and he was a teacher's assistant, they got a phone call from one of the local sheriff's officers who mm-hmm. said, "Hey, guys, we don't have enough to convict this guy. We don't have enough to prosecute him. But you need to be aware of the fact that there is a boy who's come forward who has said that they were inappropriately touched by this man."
Right.
And that ended up, that police record ended up in his personnel file. They never followed up on it.
And they never did anything.
They hired him as a full-time faculty member.
Oh, my gosh.
So how do you hold the employer mm-hmm. liable in a place, in a situation like that?
That's a really good question, Danny. So people kind of don't understand the law in this area. Because unlike if it's a truck driver who runs somebody over, you can hold the employer liable for that negligent conduct. In the area of sexual abuse, there is no such thing as vicarious liability. And what that simply means is that you are responsible, you the employer, are responsible for your employee's conduct. So if a teacher molests a child, the school would not necessarily be culpable for it.
Because it's an intentional act.
It's an intentional act, correct. So the way that you figure it out whether or not they have liability is their own independent negligence. And it really falls into three categories. Did they negligently hire this person? Did they negligently supervise them? And did they negligently train them? So in the example that I just gave you, they hired him as a full-time faculty member knowing that there was allegations of childhood sexual abuse. And then they allowed him to have unsupervised overnight trips with young boys.
Oh,
I mean, these young boys were so enwrapped in his grooming behaviors mm-hmm. that they actually became his godchildren.
Oh my gosh.
And it wasn't until after this whole thing opened up that they didn't know about it. And so you learn through the process of everything that the school should have known. It's not that they had to actually know.
Mm-hmm.
It's what they should have known. There was another case that I worked on not too long ago where the teachers, of course, were saying, "We had no knowledge. There was no understanding that this could have happened."
Mm-hmm.
And then we found out that the teachers were aware of the fact that this volunteer was allowing this person to take their children to his home to jump on his trampoline. And that was the beginning of the grooming process.
Oh.
The kids would come over. He would isolate them on his trampoline. He would then say, let's go do some wrestling moves. You can practice your wrestling moves. And then it proceeded into very inappropriate sexual misconduct for years and years and years. And the school knew, and they actually admitted that, oh, well, that probably was not appropriate. We should have not said something. We should have come forward and been like, yeah, you can't do that. Under no circumstance should you ever be alone. Right. There's a lot of school districts now, specifically on schools, that are putting parameters in place, say you will never, ever be alone with a child. And it's for safety reasons.
Right.
It's the same reason why, you know, we look, there's been a lot of hype with police officers taking mm-hmm. advantage of our general public. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a case down in San Diego. It's Officer Arevalo, who was accused and subsequently convicted of molesting people that he'd pulled over. I worked on a case in a different jurisdiction where it was the same sort of thing. He was pulling people over for an improper purpose, and he was improperly touching them. That is a very unique scenario, because if it's a officer or somebody who's got that kind of color of authority, that's the only exception that allows you to hold the employer liable 100%.
I think one of the biggest issues is the negligent hiring and negligent supervision. But even when they find out, a lot of times they turn a blind eye. They don't do something about it even after they find out, such as the Catholic Church cases, where they would actually move around the priests after they find out to cover up basically the issue, as opposed to getting them out of that circulation or rotation basically. And this happened with a lot of sex abuse cases, where the employer, they find out, or maybe the board of school finds out, but they shush it because they don't want it to come out.
Yeah, and you know, specifically in a school situation, they're mandatory reporters. They have an obligation by law that if they have knowledge or suspect that something is happening to this child, they have a mandatory obligation to report it to the police for an investigation to take place. And so I think hopefully through education and through awareness that the school districts and the other people in these scenarios that they are governing children are starting to pay a lot more attention to it and watching for the signs and the symptoms.
So one of the things with when you're, if the school is a public school, you're suing a government entity. And there is a government claim statute that you have to file a government claim before you can file a complaint. How does that factor in terms of statute of limitations and cases like this?
Very, very interesting question. It really depends on when the conduct occurred. And here's why. In 2009, the law changed. Any conduct of a sexual nature that occurs to a minor child that occurred after 2009 no longer requires a government claim. If it occurs prior to 2009, there's a requirement that there be a government claim. And that unfortunately also gets kind of wonky, because it depends on when the claim accrues. Mm. So it'll apply things like delayed discovery and equitable estoppel to make arguments that the claim didn't accrue until the child was aware that the conduct was wrongful. So it really depends, and it's very fact determinative. You know, sometimes we're looking at cases where the conduct occurred, you know, 1980s, 1990s, and then they don't have their aha moment until 2012 or 2015 or today. And you have to do a very in-depth analysis to say, okay, which law applies? You know, do we have the requirement that there have been a government claim? Can there have been a government claim that would have been filed, or are we untimely and we just can't do anything? It's unfortunate that we can't help everybody. You know, there's sometimes, like, you know, there are people out there, even in the context of our current news with all these claimants that we have against Harvey Weinstein, that they may not have recourse at the end of the day because of statute bars on the civil side.
Yeah, that's a big distinction, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Because one of the things we talked about, Doug and I, before the show was the Bill Cosby case mm-hmm. in Montgomery County, where this was a criminal trial as opposed to a civil trial. And criminal trial and civil trial have different statute of limitations, and that's a big factor that people need to keep in mind in cases like this.
Yeah. The prosecutorial for a crime it depends on which state it occurs in, mm-hmm. and it varies based upon the evidence that they have.
I know so many people have come to me and said, oh my gosh, everything going on with Harvey Weinstein, like, is he going to be prosecuted? Are they going to be able to do anything? Are they going to, you know, is there any ramifications for what he's done?
Well, the ramifications, I think, has to do with his career at this
right.
point. I mean, we already know that he's been dropped mm-hmm. from his company. I believe it came out that William Morris Talent Agency, which has been his book published, that was Bill O'Reilly. Mm-hmm. I found out that yesterday, that they're not going to renew him for anything moving forward. So Harvey Weinstein's career is probably over.
But criminally.
We just don't know yet.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, fortunately or unfortunately for these victims, there are people that come forward every day.
Right, exactly. All right, we need to take a really quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about sexual abuse cases and everything going on with that. You're listening to the Axe Law Hour on KABC 790 AM.
Talk Radio 790 KABC News Update. I'm Gary Garrison. A shooting at a nightclub in Westminster has killed one person and injured another. Police say about 100 people were hanging out in the lounge at the Blue Restaurant on Beach Boulevard when the shooting erupted around 1:30 this morning. Two more well-known actresses are going public with stories of harassment and much worse by movie producer Harvey Weinstein. And another effort to split up California has cleared its first hurdle. The Secretary of State says the measure can start gathering signatures to get it on the November 28th. 18 ballot. KABC SoCal weather, sunny skies this afternoon, highs in the mid to upper 70s at the beaches, mid 80s to lower 90s inland. More news coming up and continuous coverage at KABC.com. I'm Gary Garrison, Talk Radio 790 KABC News.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
A drunken uncle makes his 11-year-old nephew his designated driver?
And a new study says regular pot smokers have more sex. Oh, great. Now you tell me.
On the next McIntyre in the Morning, get smart 5 to 10 right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
Are you a property owner dealing with damage to your home or business and getting the runaround from your insurance company? Is the insurance company's assessment of the damage and payment on the claim ridiculous? Wondering if you have any recourse? The attorneys at Abir, Cohen, Trezon, and Salo are ready to help. If you have questions about property claims, civil rights, personal injury, or need legal counsel, call the ACTS Law Firm. 833-ACTS-LAW. 833-ACTS-LAW. Or go to ACTSLAW.com. That's ACTSLAW.com.
Everyone should experience the luxury and comfort of sleeping on an adjustable bed. And thanks to the affordable selection at Revive by Living Spaces, you can. Starting at just $495, our power adjustable bases are designed with a variety of smart features that provide the best in comfort and technology for healthier sleep. And for a limited time, you can even get a Revive memory foam queen mattress and power adjustable base for just $795. Only at Revive by Living Spaces.
Living Spaces.
It's that time of year again. You know, when those cute little ghosts and goblins come to visit. Hey, it's Leanne Tweeden. I love Halloween, but a broken water heater is not the kind of scare I'm looking for. If your pipes or water heater become possessed, call my friends at SoCal Plumbers 911. They work around your schedule. SoCal Plumbers 911 are available 24/7. Enjoy $50 off with their trick-or-treat special. So don't let your pipes cast a spell on you. Dial 877-PLUMBER or go to SoCalPlumbers911.com.
Shred the truth.
We think he's planning an attack.
Sell the lies. The Epic's original series, Berlin Station, returns.
We have a problem.
Let's go, let's go.
Timely and provocative.
Europe is in chaos.
Germany will rise.
The spy thriller you can't miss.
If he thinks for one second that he's being played, we're all dead.
With Ashley Judd, Richard Armitage, and Kiki Palmer.
Who says there are no friends in espionage?
Berlin Station, Sundays 9, 8 central, only on Epics. Watch free episodes now at epics.com.
Has your home or business suffered a loss getting the runaround from the insurance company? Take action. Call the attorneys from Axe Law now at 800-222-5222.
You're listening to the Axe Law Hour. That's A-C-T-S Law. And if you have any questions about sexual abuse or product liability or anything related and you don't know where to turn, go ahead and give us a call right now at 800-222-5222. And now here he is, Danny Abir.
Okay, Doug, so let's talk about damages, and let's talk about how do you quantify damages in a case like this. So, for example, in a case where you have a catastrophic injury, somebody loses their job or they can't work anymore, you can quantify economic damages. But how do you quantify damages in a situation like this, especially in the case of a child?
It really depends on the case, and damages are fairly unique, and it also depends on the age of the child. So first you have to identify what are the damages, and it will actually change depending on the age of the child. So if you have a 5-year-old, for example, somebody who's not going to be able to necessarily express how they feel inside, they don't have the emotional ability to be able to tell you how it's impacted their relationship with others, they'll have other signs and symptoms, like they may regress. They may start bedwetting. Sometimes they mirror or they mimic the behavior. They try to do what was done to them on somebody else. It becomes ingrained in their behavior. And, you know, oftentimes when we're talking about perpetrators, invariably in their history, they had been abused at some point in time. There's been studies that have shown that. So we have to figure out when we're looking at these victims is how much did they suffer? And how long did they suffer as to the terms and the effects of that? So if a child's, you know, brand new into their adolescence, they're 11 years old, they're still trying to identify themselves sexually, and as a man or a woman, and they get put into this position where they all of a sudden have confusion. They don't know how to identify with the opposite sex. They don't know how to identify with their peers. They feel isolated. They feel depressed. They feel dirty. They feel scared. They feel like they're at fault. So we utilize experts to help figure out what those are. We talk to psychologists, we talk to social workers and other people that are trained professionals to say, okay, how has this impacted this individual? How can we help them get through it? It's never supposed to be a form of punishment. The money is not supposed to punish the person. The punishment is done when the perpetrator is put in jail.
Right.
In the hopes that they never ever come out. Mm-hmm. The money that's sought in a civil case is to help balance what they lost because of what happened to them as a child. You know, pay for psychological counseling, pay for family counseling, pay for relationship counseling to help facilitate their introduction into society. Sometimes there is medical treatment. There is one particular individual that I worked with who had very, very serious abuse to him. And he attempted suicide 14 times.
Oh, how sad. Wow.
Unsuccessfully, but they were all real attempts that stemmed from this abuse. So there is psychiatric care that they would need, medical attention that they would need, follow-up care they would need. Sometimes we even talk about biofeedback or other type of inventive sort of new cutting-wage technology, hypnotherapy. And these are long-term situations. That's just on the technical side of it. Then you also have the emotional side of it. You know, we have to quantify what is the pain that they suffered? What is the grief, the humiliation, the depression, all the feeling words that we want to try to quantify? What were they going through when they were 11, when they were 12, when they were 13? And all of a sudden you're now here, they're 26 and they've suffered 10 plus years of past abuse, of feeling worthless, of not being able to identify themselves, of having failed relationships, of getting caught with drugs because they're trying to repress their feelings. Mm-hmm. How does that translate going forward? How are they going to deal with their spouse or their significant other or their children? How are they going to interact with their bosses at work? What is the value of that? And that's what we're asked to do.
And do most of it, after they get the treatment and all that, has it been, you know, what you think, have they been able to hold a job? Have they been able to kind of come into society and be okay after long-term treatment? I mean, what has been your experience with that?
It really depends on the structure of the individual. So stronger family structures tend to get through it. Weaker family structures, not to say that they're weak, but maybe it's right. Not nuclear or the parents are not helpful. Mm-hmm. They have a hard time. I had one particular client and his life spiraled. You know, he got into major problems. He ended up in juvenile detention. That's not uncommon. He had major problems with drugs. Not uncommon. He has a failed marriage. He's just trying to get by. And so that's part of the way that we have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because one of the questions that commonly comes up is people say, okay, 30 years has gone by. if you bring a lawsuit, if you follow up after it at this point, and as you can imagine, these cases can be lengthy, can be painful for the person who's bringing it. What is it? What's the purpose of bringing it at this point? 30 years has gone by. And in a way, that's the answer to the question. I mean, they've suffered for 30 mm-hmm. years because of this, even though they may not have said anything about it.
And they suffered in silence.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And in most instances, if you talk to the victims, it's almost always that they want closure. And so
what is that closure to them?
Closure to them is allowing their voice to be heard. You know, we talk about the Weinstein victims. It's the same thing. They may never have a claim, but they're going to get closure by saying, yes, it happened to me too. There's been a trend on Facebook over the last couple weeks where people were going hashtag Me Too. And it was to raise awareness
that,
you know, women have been victims of sexual harassment and never talk about it. They never mm-hmm. come up. And voice their concerns. So, I mean, I had one particular client. He had no right of recovery financially on the civil side. He did, however, have the ability to put his perpetrator in jail. And so as I sat and I told him that I don't think that we can get him a recovery in the form of compensation to help him, he cried. And he said to me, but I got to help other people. And I feel like I've now told my story and I get to close that chapter of my life. And fortunate for him, he has a strong family and he had a lot of guidance. And he now calls me. I heard from him about a month ago telling me that he's now a social worker helping other children and being able to share his story in a school district so he knows that no other persons moving forward can be victimized like he was.
And that's powerful.
Well, Doug is going to come on the show with me again in a few weeks and we're going to talk more about sex abuse cases and possibly if we can ask somebody else to join us
yes.
who's had these experiences, mm-hmm. Maybe that will make it a very interesting discussion. One of the other areas of practice and expertise for Doug is catastrophic personal injuries, especially as they relate to product liability cases. And product liability cases, as we alluded to in the first show that we had a few weeks ago, includes the Nutribullet case that we're currently prosecuting in our office, but at the same time we're following up and we have over a couple of dozen cases in the office. It also includes automaker or auto manufacturing, like auto cases where there's a problem with a car or a motorcycle and there's something wrong with the manufacturing. Let's talk about that a little bit and let's talk about what exactly it takes. Let's talk about first the Nutribullet cases. What do you think is the problem with the Nutribullet case? The Nutribullet itself, the machine.
The Nutribullet machine, from our perspective, has a flawed design. So the way that you establish product or strict product liability, which is what it's under the law, is there are three elements. There's manufacturing, which is when it was made by the factory, it was made wrong, such that it would fail. Then there's design, which is you made it according to specifications, but your design is flawed and it will fail, causing injury. And then the last element has to do with warnings, which is the warning sufficient to cure a flawed product? So as an example, if we placed a warning on the Pinto when it come out that, hey, this car can blow up, please be careful. That does not address the problem with the manufacturing or the design of that particular product. Now, Nutribullet is a capsule. It has no ability to relieve pressure. And we have now learned through the process of very, very difficult discovery that they have known about its failures since as early as 2014. And I suspect it's probably even earlier. The Nutribullet is much like a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
It builds a pressure through thermal force and actual force to a point where the pressure inside the vessel is so great that it has no other option but to explode at its weakest point, which happens to be the seal between the cup and the lid that contains the blade. We have about 20 cases right now that the firm's prosecuting. With calls coming in almost every week, and the failure of those are the same. It's essentially an explosion where the cup shoots off into the air. We have one that we're now aware of that the the cup shot off with such force that it punched a hole in the ceiling of one of the person's houses that were using it.
Yeah, imagine that. Imagine you're buying a blender.
Yeah.
And one of the potential dangers that you have to face is that it's going to explode to the level that it's going to blow a hole through your ceiling. I mean, I don't think you'd buy a machine.
Oh, no.
Knowing that something like that may happen.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to our break. But after that, we'll come back and give some examples of some of these 20 cases, 20-some cases that we have as far as the different injuries and how it happened and how this basically has destroyed some people's lives, including a couple of our clients, and how we can be more careful as far as how we use the machine.
Okay, we'll address that when we get back, all the product liability stuff. You're listening to the ACTS Law Hour. That's ACTSlaw.com.
In 3, 2, 1.
Coming up on The Next Drive Home with Jillian Barber and John Phillips, we'll find out if the Kennedy Papers gave Oliver Stone enough material for a sequel.
Plus, how's your sex life? If it's really good, it could mean that you like to smoke weed.
Live and local, right after Dr. Drew and Mike Hathaway, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
O'Reilly. Is your check engine light on? Don't ignore it. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and let our professional parts people scan your vehicle for free. We'll retrieve the codes, discuss possible solutions, and even help you find a professional technician if needed. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today for our free check engine light help. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Picture this. It's Monday afternoon and you're at Domino's buying a large three-topping pizza. You give the Domino's employee $7.99 plus tax, of course. Now, picture this. It's Friday and you're at Domino's buying a large three-topping pizza. You give the Domino's employee more than you paid Monday. You feel bamboozled. But then, you hear this.
Domino's extended its $7.99 large three-topping carryout deal to all day, every day.
And so you danced and ate Domino's. Carryout only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Are you a property owner dealing with damage to your home or business and getting the runaround from your insurance company? Is the insurance company's assessment of the damage and payment on the claim ridiculous? Wondering if you have any recourse? The attorneys at Abir, Cohen, Trezon, and Salo are ready to help. If you have questions about property claims, civil rights, personal injury, or need legal counsel, call the ACTS Law Firm. 833-ACTS-LAW. 833-ACTS-LAW. Or go to ACTSLAW.com. That's ACTSLAW.com.
Everyone should experience the luxury and comfort of sleeping on an adjustable bed. And thanks to the affordable selection at Revive by Living Spaces, you can. Starting at just $495, our power adjustable bases are designed with a variety of smart features that provide the best in comfort and technology for healthier sleep. And for a limited time, you can even get a Revive memory foam queen mattress and power adjustable base for just $795. Only at Revive by Living Spaces.
Living Spaces.
Welcome back to the ACTS Law Hour, helping you stop insurance company abuse at 800-222-5222.
You're listening to the ACTS Law Hour. I'm here with Danny Avere. I'm Lorraine Love, and we're also here with Doug Roshan, and we are talking about product liability and some really interesting stuff with the NutriBullet.
Well, let's give some examples as to the types of injuries that we've seen. One of them is laceration, which is we have one of the cases where she actually cut the lower part of her hand and now doesn't have the use of one, definitely, and almost two fingers.
And I would even qualify it. I think these go far beyond being a simple laceration. A laceration is like a paper cut. Yeah. I mean, a lot of these clients, their hands are mutilated. I mean, because the blade is not cutting them straight through. I mean, there's cutting all the way through the ligaments and the bones. There are several clients that need surgical intervention. One of our clients will never regain use of her hand. She will have remaining pain in her hand for the rest of her life. It will feel like her hand is on fire because of the nerve pain, the nerve damage that has been caused by this product. And that's separate and apart from the fact that these units, through the forces that go through it, heat the inside material, whatever it is, up to temperatures that are beyond boiling. So when the cup separates from the base and explodes, The liquid inside is splashing on these people, and they're getting second-degree burns over their face and over their necks, breasts, arms, any part that that liquid sprays onto.
Okay, so as a consumer, how come we don't know anything about this?
Because they've tried to keep it very, very quiet. You have infomercials out there. They're fairly affordable. I believe the last time I looked at the advertising, you could buy two of them for $89.
Mm-hmm.
America's trying to be a lot more health conscious,
right,
which is the way that they're promoting it. A lot of the clients that we represent are health fanatics, very much into making their morning smoothies with their kale and their pineapple juice and their B12 mm-hmm. powder.
We have two yoga instructors.
Yes, we have a bodybuilder. And Nutribullet's position has always been it's a user error, that somehow the clients or the customers didn't use it correctly.
Oh, okay. Back on the consumer.
Now, what we know from some of the manual changes is we know they're aware of the issue because they've changed the language.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they think that changing the language is sufficient to cure them of any defects, but it's not. Normally, when you have a defective product and it goes through regular testing, which is, it's called failure mode analysis testing. It's, you put it through a bunch of tests and did it fail
mm-hmm.
when you were using it as you would expect a consumer to use it? And I have not been shown a piece of information or a document that demonstrates that they did any of that testing with this product. And it's not unique because I have 20 people right now that say that it occurred to them. I now have been identified another 45 people that it occurred to them. So they're aware of this issue. They just don't want anyone else to be aware of it because, let's be frank, it would affect their sales.
Right. So in a product liability lawsuit case like this, in addition to what you're trying to get for, you know, the plaintiffs for, you know, their damages and all of that, would it also be something that you would try to get this permanently off the shelf?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, underlying the getting it off the shelf doesn't help the victim.
Right.
It doesn't repair the damage that was
but
caused to them.
Future victims, right?
But it saves the community and saves the people that are out there that are using it. I mean, the number of people that I've talked to that own one of these,
mm-hmm.
And I would say if you had a conversation with three people, at least one of them will have owned it and or know somebody who owns one. And they will not be aware of the dangers associated with it. If you look at a traditional blender has a top
mm-hmm.
and it has the little plastic piece on top. And what's the purpose for that? It's not so you can add liquids to it. It's actually, God forbid, there's some reason why your blender's working overdrive and there's a lot of pressure that builds up. That little top will spill out.
Right.
And some people have probably seen that before where there's a little bit that leaks out. That's a much safer alternative because you only have to clean it up. It's not causing you severe burns. It's not cutting your hands off. And the Nutribullet, the cap is actually where the blade's located. And so when it blows up, you're exposed to the blade and you're exposed to the liquid inside because there's no way for it to relieve pressure. Well, and it's a very simple fix.
It also doesn't have an on-off switch. You just read my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no on-off switch on the Nutribullet. The alternatives have on and off switches where you push a button and at least it stops.
Yeah. And they don't want, you know, they write in their manual, they say, please do not use this for more than a minute. At first it said, don't use it for more than a minute because it could damage our motor. In the most recent manuals, it says, don't use this for a minute because it could damage our motor. And it will increase the thermal pressure in the unit. Please point it away from you when opening. Okay. There's other ways to fix this. If they don't want you to use it for more than a minute, put a timer on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that expensive. Or even something simpler, put a pressure relief plug on it. So if the pressure gets up to a point of being dangerous, the plug pops, the liquid leaks out, and there's no problems.
Well, you know, one of the arguments most manufacturers make in product liability cases is, listen, I've sold 40 million of these. And so what? A couple of hundred of them have problems.
Yeah.
But there are so many more who are enjoying this. What do you say to that?
Yeah, and I always try to use the same analogy. First, it's always underreported. Some people experience it without any injury, and they just say, okay, this clearly doesn't work, and say nothing about it.
And then there are those, away, right?
Yeah, then there are those who report it to the manufacturer that actually suffered a loss, a mechanical loss, but have no injury. And they also are not put in the public eye. And then you have the ones that are physically injured. And they end up in the result most of the time with lawsuits. And those are the ones we become aware of. And so if I put it sort of as an analogy, if you have a bomb and you manufacture 40 million bombs and I tell you, I want you to hold this bomb that I have right here. But one of the 40 million bombs potentially could go off and it will blow you up. Are you going to hold the bomb?
No. No. Danny, are you going to hold the bomb?
Are you looking at me? Are you kidding?
I mean, yeah. It only takes, you know, it's measured on the amount of the risk associated with the design. Manufacturers have an obligation to produce a safe product for ordinary customer use and foreseeable misuse. And the second part is probably even more important because, as we all know, most people don't read manuals. And most people don't necessarily know all of the ins and outs of the product when they start to use it. I would highly doubt that any of us here have ever gone and read their manual from cover to cover on their car.
But you know, as guys, we never read manuals.
No.
I mean, it's just that's in our DNA.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
So you get a little triangle on your dashboard. You're like,
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
How many times has happened to me? Actually, that's when I actually have opened the manual. But the thing is this, most of the time when you get a machine, unless you buy something from IKEA and you're looking at it, most of the time you probably don't even look at that to try to put it together. You try to do it yourself. But you look at the manual when you have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You rarely look at it beforehand. And that's one of the biggest things. And by the time you have a problem, most of the times you don't even know where your manual is. That's the other part of it.
That's a great point.
I was speaking to someone who said, I actually learned how to use my Nutribullet by looking at how it's being used on a YouTube video. There are YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. I never opened the manual. I just looked at that. But the YouTube video doesn't tell you, hey, by the way, this can explode on you.
Yeah, and information is really power. I mean, most people get what they have through video and through looking at the product.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a Nutribullet and you take a peek at it, there's very little information on the machine itself. It says, don't touch the blades while spinning. Well, this seems to be pretty obvious. And in very, very small white font on the back of this silver metallic blender that you can't see if you've got even good vision, it says, do not blend for more than a minute. Well, that's really important to them, that they don't want you to use this for more than a minute at a time. What are you doing about it? Why is it not bigger? Why is it not more pronounced? It's okay to put Nutribullet in big font across the blender. That doesn't bother them at all, but you want them to be significant with whatever warnings they're providing about this machine may have problems if you use it more than 1 minute. Put it in black font. Make it a little bit bigger. Put it on top of the blending cover. I mean, you have to make the consumer aware of the issues. So if you have somebody like myself who learns by watching, I'm going to be doing it by looking at the machine. I'm not going to go read the manual and try to figure out how it works. And it has to be an assumption on behalf of most manufacturers that we don't read. If you took 20 of your friends and you polled them and you said, okay, how many of you, when you buy a product, sit and read the entire manual to make sure you understand how the product works before you start playing with it, I would bet maybe one out of those 20 people would do that. So the manufacturers have to know that. If they don't know that, they should know that. So they have to then provide information through other means. For example, Nutribullet has infomercials. Everybody's probably seen them. If they really don't want their stuff being used for more than a minute, they should talk about it when they're doing the infomercial. Please, when you're using this, it only takes a minute. It's less than a minute. You please don't blend it for more than a minute.
We've actually seen some that this has happened to where it was less than a minute and it exploded. And after less than a minute, somebody actually, in one of the things that we saw, said after 6 seconds it had blown up. But before we go, I want to tell everybody that one of the reasons we have this show is to educate you and so that you know what your rights are. And at the same time, we want you to be aware. So be careful if you have one so that this doesn't happen to you. And I think that's going to be important.
I agree. I agree. And thank you so much, Doug. I mean, this was so informative. It was so great. And like we've talked about, right, power is knowledge and knowledge is power. And that's what we're trying to do. So we appreciate all your stories. And I know, I think Danny said you're going to come back in a few weeks, and that would be awesome.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That would be so great. And again, thanks for joining us today for the Axe Law Hour. You can visit axelaw.com. That's ACTSlaw.com. And thank you to our host, Danny Abir, and like I said, our guest attorney, Doug Roshan, for the great show today. And join us every Saturday from 12 to 1, the Axe Law Hour on KABC 790. I'm Lorraine Love, and thanks for listening.